This is Steph from More Front Wing, and I'm here with Alex Tagliani. Alex, probably a logical place to start is just to look over your first season as a part team owner. You have to be pretty happy with the way that things started out for you.
Yes, I think if we look back at the 2010 season, what comes to my mind is obviously the great group of people that we have here in the team, and I think that's why we were capable of overcoming lots of different challenges, and the biggest one was the time issue when we finally put all this together and we decided to take ownership of the Mardi Roth equipment. We were actually in November, and the race facility was still to be worked on, and some other teams were racing, were testing to get their car ready for the season. So consider all of that. I really think that when we showed up in Brazil and we were capable of putting the car on the front row, it was a tribute to, the quality of the people that we were able to hire in the team, and also how quick we were able to create like some sort of a chemistry to work together and on an even playing field when we went to a track that nobody ever been. I think we were able to shine. So I'm very pleased how everything turned out in 2010.
You've mentioned a couple times that you were able to surround yourself with good people, and coming into the season, you mentioned in a couple of different interviews that one of the goals of starting a team on your own was to be able to surround yourself with people and focus on yourself on driving the car. Did you feel that you were able to maintain that throughout the season? Did you meet that goal, in your opinion?
Yes, I think, one key member of this team, Rob Edwards, the general manager of the team, took, a big part of the responsibility and leadership in the team. So he was capable to, to put together this great group of people and create like an atmosphere, like we were together for many years. That's what it felt like when we went racing for the first time. And, because of that, I felt that, I could leave everything in his hands, and, I could, concentrate on driving, and, things turned out pretty well. I think, as a team, we know the, some of the challenges that we were going to face, but, somehow during the season, we were able to showcase performance and speed, and come out of some races very, very strong, and impress a lot of people. And I think it was because all of this, just the fact that I can drive, and Rob put together a great team, and the boys were, on the money all the time. Even if we know that we had some weaknesses sometimes, but that was to be expected, for a first year. We didn't think that we were going to be perfect. So, but overall, I think the atmosphere for me to drive was quite nice.
When you look back on this year and compare it to how you may have felt at the end of other seasons in your career, what feels different to you?
Just the pride of the accomplishment, with a group of people all together. Internally, I think we know exactly, how difficult it could be to go race in IndyCar against, the best of the best, the Penske's and the Ganassi's and the Andretti's of this world. I think they definitely put the bar pretty high. And for us, when we are able to go to Brazil as a first race, just getting all this prepared in the month of November with one test in Sebring and go there and you know, be able to compete against teams that have humongous amount of experience on this particular car. I think that was, you know, an amazing feeling, you know, and it carried away, it carried all season long, you know, like the, some of the, you know, the changes we did over the course of the season to try to improve the car on road course, came to the right moment, in mid Ohio for a great battle up front, you know, and to try to claim a podium, and we finished fourth, but we led most laps. And then the next weekend in Sonoma, it was my first time at that particular circuit. I never seen it before, and we qualified fourth. And every single time that we were able to be in the top five, like in Brazil or in Indianapolis for qualifying, Sonoma, Mid-Ohio, we were always surrounded by three Penske's and two Ganassi's and us. For, you know, being in the fast six or in the top six, and that's kind of like, you know, a nice little reward for our team, you know, like to see who we have around and always being around the same, you know. So when we finished the season, I think we were capable of looking at, you know, lots of DNF, not because of our own fault, but for being at the wrong place at the wrong time and being taken out of the racetrack, involved in some incidents, you know, but some drivers were causing, and unfortunately we don't have to look back and say, you know, we did lots of mistakes. We actually were pretty mistake free, you know, all season long, and I think that's a big reward. I mean, other than the misfortune, I really feel that in regards of what we wanted to accomplish this year, we did well.
Great, yeah, and that does seem to be paying off since we saw the announcement today that Fast is looking at expanding next year to become a two-car team, which has to be exciting news for everybody in the shop looking forward. We saw in that release that you're looking at Ho Pin Tung from China. We understand, though, that that's not a firm deal. You're still looking to secure finances for him. Is that correct?
Yes, you know, the way things happened, you know, the management company that works with him, you know, we secured an agreement with them to secure some funding for him, and the test was to evaluate him and see, you know, if he could fit in our program, and I think he does. I think he's talented. You know, he has a lot of experience. He ran in GP2, Formula 3. He did the testing in Formula 1. He raced in A1 GP, in Formula Super League. Pretty much all form of open wheel racing he tried. So he definitely came to the test with a big bag of experience. And I think he showed that he's quite capable, and I would not mind work with him because I think he driving style and all that stuff was very similar. So I think it could be a good addition for our team if everything works out.
Okay, well, that's an interesting perspective that your driving styles are similar, because It's interesting to know that you can learn that so quickly, having just had, what was it, 2 days of testing with him?
Well, actually, when you're a driver and you have a driving style, you know, you're not going to change it too much when you're racing. I mean, you're bringing whatever you do, you're bringing it with you, you know, like in any different car that you drive.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to adapt, but I think you know, the way he was driving was quite similar. I think there was a lot of similarity, and I think that's good for our engineers to, you know, to grow and to continue to improve our car in the next season.
Definitely. I think, though, that this announcement from today may have come as a bit of a surprise to a number of people, because there had been a lot of talk about FAS looking at possibly being an all-Canadian operation next year. So What is it about the situation that may have changed that? Did you just have, was there something about Ho Pin specifically that caught your attention, or were things just not seeming to be working out with some of the Canadian drivers that you were looking at? Did you just decide to go in a different direction? What was the justification behind that?
No, I think, as a team, you always have to look at the different opportunities and not really put your eggs in the same basket. And, there's still a lot of desire to run, multi-car. If the proposals that are out at the moment and the concept that we are trying to put together ends up working out, I think Open is still, could still be part of our organization, no matter what we do with the other program. So I think we have to look at it as another opportunity that we are analyzing and we're pursuing, try to make sure that we secure a two-car operation for next year, to the benefit of the engineers and their whole team. It's quite important, for various different reasons. When you go to an oval, it's a two-day event, but actually it's really a one-day event, because the next day on the Saturday it's the race, and you have to be prepared. You have to don't have to second guess yourself. And if something happens over the day, over the course of the first day, having two car on the track sometimes allows you to have some comparison and make sure that you don't second guess yourself, because you have another car on the track that will able to to give you the answers that sometimes you're looking for. So for all these reasons, I think it's very important for us to continue to look at all the opportunities out there, and we're not stopping.
So just to clarify what you're saying then, you're committed to being a two-car team, but that does not necessarily include Ho Pin if that deal were to somehow not work out, or if there were to be another driver that were to come to you with funding in hand. There's nothing set in stone about this?
Yeah, to clarify it, it's very simple. We would like to run Ho Pin as much as possible, and if there's other drivers that are coming, then we will expand to three cars, as simple as that.
Okay. Very interesting. Good to know. Let's go in a slightly different direction and take a look at, of course, with you being a Canadian driver, you have to be feeling particularly impacted by the loss of Edmonton from the schedule. What's that doing for your program next year?
Well, as far as I'm concerned right now, I don't think we can be totally sure that the Edmonton race won't be on the schedule yet.
Well, this is a good point. Yes, it's true. We keep hearing different things every day, but as of right now, is it affecting you at all?
No, because as of right now, there's nothing sure. So we have to wait until it's totally for sure, and then we will be able to make like a proper statement. So it's there's no point really talking about it until it's 100% in or out.
Okay, fair enough. Has this discussion of Edmonton possibly being in or out turned any attention in Quebec by any chance? We've heard some rumors that you've been working behind the scenes on looking at a street race in Quebec City. Has there been any more or less discussion on that since this started happening, or no?
Yes, I mean the Quebec City race would be nice. As many races in Canada we can have on the schedule would be amazing. I remember the days in CART where we had three Canadian races, and we were covering basically the whole country. It was from west to east, and that was quite nice. So having a race down west at the moment with Edmonton and Toronto in the center and Quebec would be kind of coming back to where we were in the past with CART. So obviously it would be great. And I think if it could happen, it would be fantastic. But as you know, there's a lot of little things that have to come into place before something like that happens, and you know, there's some work that that is getting done right now behind the scene, but there's nothing for sure yet.
Speaking of Quebec, this isn't something that impacts you directly, but it would be interesting to get your perspective from the point of view of nostalgia, if nothing else. It has to be interesting to you, being Quebecois, to see Firestone Indy Lights going to the Grand Prix de Trois-Rivières next year. Does that what feelings does that evoke in you, seeing that on their schedule?
I think it's nice. I mean, you know, it's a very small and technical type of street course, and it always produced good racing. I won there in Formula Atlantic, you know, I had some, you know, great memories, you know, like, and when I was racing for Players Foresight, I had two wins at the Three River Grand Prix, and then I won in Montreal at the Circuit de Villeneuve as well, and winning in Quebec for me is special, but for the other drivers, you know, it's going to end up being another race, but I think, you know, it's great for the fans because they're very appreciative of open wheel racing, and, you know, to have one series from the IRL going down to Quebec, I think it's a good sign, and you know, it's continue to work towards that direction. So every time I hear the word Quebec, it makes me happy.
Definitely. Continuing to look toward the future, there's been a lot of discussion in the last couple of weeks, in particular, of all the great news that's coming out surrounding the specs for 2012 and the introduction of Chevy and of Lotus bringing engines, and it looks like aero kits as well, into the series. Your point of view on this is unique in that you have both the owner's and the driver's perspective in terms of watching these announcements and trying to decide how your team is going to approach these changes. First of all, your thoughts on the announcements in general and what it means for the series and the future of the sport.
Well, I think we were all quite excited about all this news. You know, it's good for Honda. I think they wanted to compete against other manufacturers, and I think it's great. You know, three is good. You know, and I think the series with Randy Bernard, you know, and Izod has been shown a lot of potential, you know, in the last year, and it continues, you know, like, to grow every single day, and I think it makes a lot of people happy. I think all this positive news takes away from people like wondering, and now I think it's you know, it's people have to realize that this series is growing at a tremendous pace, for us, basically, I think that the most important thing that we want to see as a team is we want to make sure that the rules surrounding the aero kits and the engines and the way things are going to be allocated are going to be fair, because I really believe that there was some problems in the past that we have seen in CART and then in Champ Car and then in IRL with Honda and Toyota. And I think that if we learn from our mistakes and from the scenarios that we lived in those days, we can definitely make sure that we avoid that. And I think one big thing is to make sure we avoid engine manufacturers, you know, subsidizing specific teams. You know, no offense to Penske. I love Rogers. He's a good guy. But, you know, I think there should be some rule that takes away the possibility for Chevy to invest lots of millions of dollars to run with a Ganassi team or a Penske team. I think if they want to invest the money, they need to invest the money for all the teams that are going to run with their engines, and every team is going to be able to benefit of a development and a technical program, and that will leave money to do a lot of promotional activities. And you know, if you have three engine manufacturers that are investing the same amount of money in PR and marketing, it's three times more than what we have now, and it's going to make the RRL benefit from all this visibility. And whatever money is decided to be invested, if it's in a pool for all the teams that are running on Chevy or Lotus or Honda to benefit for a development program, then it helps to reduce also the cost, because then certain teams that are spending money on their own on wind tunnel and seven pulse rig, if it comes out of a pool of a technical partnership for all the teams to benefit from it, then you know it helps the budget of a race team, and then sponsorship is easier to get because your budget is a little bit lower. So if all this stuff is kind of, you know, in mind of everybody, I think we're heading in a very good direction. But you know, if we allow Chevy to give $10 million to a specific team, it's not going to take long for people to get, you know, upset and create a lot of animosity, and then maybe engine manufacturers are going to start to leave like they left in the past. So I'm hoping that everybody that are creating decision in the league and for the benefit of the sport, that are going to look back at what happened and all the mistakes and avoid that in the future for everybody.
Great thoughts. Thank you for that. One more question on that topic for you. Now that you are sitting and looking at this from the perspective of a driver and an owner, where does this leave you now, seeing that you've got these three manufacturers now to choose from? Where does your decision-making process go from here, from the team's perspective, in terms of which manufacturers you're going to use? What sorts of things are you looking at now in your process in making the decision on what you're going to do in 2012?
I think it should be like an NFL draft.
Everybody just sort of sits in a line and... Okay.
I think, you know, like there should be some sort of rule before the end of the season in 2011 that, you know, everybody knows in which lineup they will be to pick. And then when you start to pick, you know, like when you pick once, you take one engine manufacturer away, there's two remaining, you pick this second one, and there's one remaining, you pick the third one, and then it goes back to reopen three for the fourth team that picks, and so on and so forth. I think that, in my opinion, you know, like that would be cool to see, because preparing alliances in advance, you know, it's it opens the door again for, you know, subsidizing a team and money partnership, and then it's, you don't stop, you know, these type of, you know, scenarios. And from a series that is quite good at the moment with cars that are similar, and you know, a team like us that is capable to get into the series and on year one sit on the pole at the 8500 for three quarters of the day and qualify fifth, out qualify one car from each big team's Ganassi and Penske, I think it's quite good. We don't want to start getting into the other direction where, you know, because of those technical partnership and financial partnership, it's going to become like Formula One where, you know, same teams are always down the front. I think that's going to kill the sport, and that's what the fans are not going to be happy about, you know. So we need to make sure that we protect the way the series is at the moment, and it allows to see lots of nice battles, and it's anybody's game, you know, from one weekend to another. I think, you know, Roger and Chip are really strong because they have the experience and their team is stable, and they're very consistent week in and week out. But in regards of being competitive and capable of doing it, you know, we've shown that once in a while we're able to beat them. We just lack consistency, and if the series could continue in that sort of path, I think it's going to help, you know, create better show on the racetrack and increase the fan base quite a bit.
That's great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Alex, for your time. That's all the questions I have for you. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Some great insights on what's going on in the series and now and in the future.
Thank you so much.